Okay.
We are connecting to our breath. We are shaking our bodies if we want to shake our bodies. And this is the July Great Circle. It is July 28th. My name is Rain Crow. I'm facilitating the agenda item about faggot-only space or faggot-focused space. And the discussion that came is primarily coming out of the Heart Circle conversation two nights ago Friday evening. I'm not going to reference by name any person that contributed to that conversation, but I did make it clear in that Heart Circle I was going to take notes about the overall themes and concerns that came out of that Heart Circle to use in this discussion. And that is the place from which I'd like to start. Is it possible for anyone to take a photograph of this document on the whiteboard and post it where our online folks would be able to see it? If so, please go ahead and do that. So the place I want to start from is some framing. I want to start with some premises and see if we can agree with some premises in order to have this discussion. The premises that I'm working with, and I'm going to say them all and then I'll go back through them, is that there's no dispute amongst the participants in this conversation about the inherent value of having faggot-only space or faggot-centric space or faggot-focused space. That there's no dispute that those are inherently valuable spaces. The second premise that I'm working with in this discussion is that all or most of us have been wounded or oppressed around our sexuality and or our gender in some way. The third premise that I'm working with is that we are each individually and collectively working to liberate and heal these parts of ourselves and our wounds. The fourth premise that I'm working with is that part of this healing work relates to understanding our own shadow projections, the shadow projections of others, working with unshaming, and working with growing compassion. The next premise is that over many years, faggot-only space or faggot-focused space has been an ongoing conversation in many circles and subsets of radical fairy community. The next premise is that currently those present in this discussion are committed to the practice of allyship. So I want to ask, am I correct in basing this discussion on these premises? Is there any would anyone disagree that there's no dispute about the inherent value of faggot-only space? Would anyone disagree that all or most of us have been wounded or oppressed around our sexuality and or our gender in some way? I'm asking for disagreement. Would anyone disagree that we are individually or collectively working to liberate ourselves and heal these parts of ourselves, these wounded parts? Would anyone disagree that part of the healing work around these wounds relates to understanding our own shadow projections, others' shadow projections, how to unshame ourselves, and how to grow compassion? Would anyone disagree that over many years this conversation has been ongoing in circles and subsets of radical queer community? And would anyone disagree that currently, if you're in this discussion, you're committed to the practice of allyship? And I'm choosing to not define what that means, trusting that you know inside of yourself. Okay, so I did not hear or see any disagreement, so I'm going to continue to operate under the assumption that we're working with these premises. Allyship? I have another page that I'm putting up. If anyone wants to photograph and post this. And this is about what we might choose to work with in this conversation. So what I got out of the discussion, the heart circle discussion, is that I think we have inherited a legacy wound that stems to the purchase of the land. We've used this language in other great circle containers, this idea of a legacy wound, a wound that came from a community of people of which most or all of us were not a part of, but that we are still connected to and dealing with the impacts of, because it never healed. Okay? I think that part of that legacy wound is that there are conflicting and confused intentions about what faggot-only space on the land means. That it was never either clearly enough articulated, or that if it was clearly articulated, it was interpreted and translated and practiced in different ways. That there's never been a community-wide agreement about what that term means or how it's used. So my question around that, and we'll come back to this, is what healing might need to happen around that legacy wound? What can we do now to address what we've inherited? And I don't say inherited legacy wound in the sense that I'm shaming our ancestors or shaming those fairies who did their very best to purchase the land and come up with this. I'm sure they did the very best they could with what they had at the time. And now we know a lot more. And we're a different fairy community. So what can we do with what they've given us? I also want to touch on a sense that it would be wise for us to decouple or detangle the seepage of this wound through individuals. And I specifically want to name Jody Bon Jovi and Keystone. Because my sense is that the shadow around this legacy wound has been moving through those two people, when in fact this is a community-wide discussion. This is a healing endeavor. We need to pull it out of those two folks, because it is not, I think, wise or fair to let them carry the energies that are present in so many people in this community. Because I think it's really easy to say this is about those two folks and have it be an interpersonal conflict. That's not personally what I see or feel energetically. So I'm offering a lot of personal reflection in this. I know there will be room for disagreement in just a moment, but I want to get through this. I also think that I want to ask folks, how do we extend generosity for people that might self-identify as marginalized or peripheral in this conversation? What does that mean, actually? And is it something we desire? I don't want to assume that everybody wants to practice generosity. Similarly, I don't want to assume that we want to practice compassion, but I want to ask, how, if we did, how would we want to practice compassion with boundaries around behavior? I want to ask about the spell work of words, because if words are spells, if spells create our reality, what are we, I'm using faggot-only space, faggot-focused space, and faggot-centric space interchangeably at the moment, because those are the things I keep hearing. It might be wise to figure out what we mean by those, and if we want to actually choose one of them to use as the spell around this disagreement. And then I think the intent, I think getting really clear about the intentions about faggot-only space, the process agreements in calling for it, and what the community-wide holding of it looks like. I mean, those could potentially be action steps that I would like to move us towards in lieu of anyone else suggesting anything. So I want to ask, first of all, I'm going to check the time. Did anybody get this document posted?
I can post it to the people. I'll post it.
Crimson. So I want to make sure the folks on the line can see this, or okay. if it's in the live minutes or whatever.
Yeah, it's appearing in the live minutes.
It's appearing in the live minutes. Okay, great. So
can you repeat? Excuse me. This is William Scribing. The last item is rather, the way you've written it is a little bit condensed. Can you say it again?
Yeah, I want to focus. I, this was all sort of more framing about what I think leads into some actionable steps, which are about setting intentions about the space that are really clear. That goes back to kind of healing this legacy wound piece.
I'm sorry, what space?
The Sagittarius.
Okay, thank you. That's the piece. Thank you.
Process agreements and calling for it.
How do we call Sagittarius space in the room?
And what is the community-wide holding of that? So I wanna we have about just about 25 minutes, and I'd like to focus the discussion on what you think or feel about this, and move into lunch with two pieces. One is what the piece around the recording, I'd like folks to be able to come back from lunch with some sense of how we want to handle that, and some sense of like, can we possibly generate a proposal or at least find a container to continue this conversation? Right? All right. So does that make sense? So let's come back to this. Understanding we've agreed to some premises, what do folks think or feel about these pieces? So I want to take a stack.
That process point.
Okay, Mugwort has a process point.
William's doing a great job as scribe, and that also basically takes him out of the conversation. And given your history, you know, in the early
years. I see
years,
Stella volunteering to scribe. William, are you willing to hand off?
Thank you.
So I want to go back to, I'm moving because we're working with the element of time. Okay. So who would like to be on staff? I'd like to ask first if anyone on the line would like to be on staff. Okay, anyone in this room? Ola? Okay, I got you. So I have Lula, Brooke, William. I would love it if somebody who is living on the land. So I'm using my magical projection here because you're all going to get to go back home real soon. If somebody who's living on the land would like to speak on this stack.
I think I see JBG's stack.
Okay. Great. Anyone else in this room? Lance, a few more. All right, so I've got five folks. I've got Rula, Rook, JBJ, William and Puma, I want to ask you to try to keep it to a minute or less so that we can hear as many voices as possible. So we'll go ahead and mute. Rula, you're up.
Okay. I appreciate, just like love the energy behind focusing this discussion. And I have this fear, and my fear is that the people that really need to hear us say this are not listening to us. And I'm of two minds on that. One is that it doesn't matter what we do, whether we record this or not and post it, the people that really, I think, in my experience at least, really need to hear this are the ones who don't believe us. And I don't know what to do about that. I really think that we have inherited a legacy wound, and I'm a part of that legacy. And I have had a lot of personal feelings sparked in a lot of ways by the activities that we've had at Wolf Creek, like the Sex Magic Circle. But a lot of it also has been just my ability to have people that I can do this with. And also, frankly, a lot of it has been personal work I've chosen to take on. And I recognize it's really difficult and really painful. So I don't have like this, that somehow people need to do that. I mean, I want to encourage it and want to offer the space for people to do that processing that's necessary to help cure their wounds. And I'm afraid that the people that really come to us reacting angrily to their wounds are not getting our message. Yeah.
Thank you, Rula. Rook?
Hi there, everyone. I have the important things that I really want to see sort of, you know, untangled or dealt with. For me specifically, is the wording around faggot-only space. I feel like faggot-only space is really it's an exclusionary language. And I know it's supposed to be, like, specific, like, this is what this container is for. I just feel like there's definitely a better wording that can be brought around that is not so enticing to people who feel marginalized. Because somebody who might be on that outside of community, hearing that phrasing is a little bit like, oh, you know, like, it just feels very negative in a certain way. And I don't know if that's just because, I don't know, I think there's a better framework that can come up with those particular words. And the other thing was that what I jotted down was, like, the Radical Fairies have created, condensed, collected, and provided space for queer magic and religion to that the growing diversity of the community is a reflection of the power and divinity inherent in queer spirituality. And the community itself, growth and change are vital to the health and longevity of the community.
Can you slow down, baby?
Yeah.
I'm so not able to track with that.
No, I don't know.
Okay, could you just read it more slowly?
Yeah. Radical Fairies have created, condensed, and collected, as well as provided space for queer magic and living communities. And that the growing diversity of the community as a reflection of the power and divinity inherent in queer spirituality. And that the community itself, growth and change, are vital to the health and longevity of the community.
Thank you. Let's go to JBJ and we'll mute on our end.
You
too. Hi, it's JBJ. I kind of have that big topic about this very subject. I'm trying to hone what I want to get across in this moment. I'm looking at the prompts, the questions with the intention, how we call it being, what's the community like holding up that space. I speak into the intention around finding only space. We've talked about not using it as a weapon a power thing, and using the calling of finding only space for the healing that some folks are finding necessary. And I'm wondering how to create policy about intention. We can suggest that it's hard to create policy about intention, just like it is hard to control what people's motivations are. So I don't necessarily have an answer about that. I'm just speaking to a concern I have. How do we call into being? I think that what I see this as a fantastic first conversation, not first, billionth conversation first in this great circle about how to do this, and then some documents maybe moving through nominalizing and sort of delivery documents right away about, like, how much time in advance one can qualify it on the space. At this point, it's generally 2 weeks. And when there were more people living on the land that were seen as faggots by other people, that was easier. Now that we have a more gender diverse community of people with different sexualities all over the place, 2 weeks gets a little bit harder when you're asking that people leave the land. And in that, I also want to talk about the fact that we live on 90 acres and that faggot-only space doesn't have to be a full container of the entire land. It could be, I'm asking for faggot-only space in the back of the barn for a weekend so that I can
Yes.
I don't want to hear everyone else's thoughts. I have so many thoughts. I could talk about this forever, and I'm not really sure where to go with these thoughts at the moment. Yeah. All right, this is Rain. Thank you, JBJ. Thanks, everyone. I understand. It's a complex and nebulous conversation in certain ways. And I think you were really kind of getting to what I was trying to get. Folks have touched on what I was hoping for by posting all of this, which is how do we start to move into a way to express, how do we acknowledge that what's been happening so far hasn't been working in a lot of ways? What can we do to intervene or correct or create pathways? And I agree, I'm not interested in trying to legislate anyone's intentions, but I think that there might be requests or suggestions that can be made or acknowledgments about the ways that it hasn't worked well in the past that are specific about power. So I think you really touched on that. Let's continue. Let's go to William.
William here, and I hadn't planned on starting here, but I'm going to tag on to what you just said, Rain Crow, and frame it to say a lot has worked with this.
Mm-hmm.
The dance that we are trying to do with this is complex, and it's worth noting that even though there are glitches and even though there are people who have been alienated and hurt, we have gone a long way to meeting a lot of people's needs pretty well. And let's acknowledge that as well as the aspects that have been problematic. Really important. Thank you, JBJ. Everything you said sounded really spot on. And you too, Rula. I want to draw attention to the word faggot, and I want, because I think a key issue is who's deciding who a faggot is. And to use the extreme example is what happens when a person who, I'm making an I statement to my perspective, presents entirely female by my judgment criteria, says I'm a faggot. I don't know what to do with that. So that's the extreme case, but the case that is the more common one has to do with, you know, is having a penis a requirement of being a faggot? And when I started out in this community, it wasn't a requirement, but it was an assumption. It was an assumption, and that's not true anymore. So I just want to say that if we're going to try to untease the meanings of the words, faggot is one of the words that we need to look at, because it is not self-evident and uniformly agreed what a faggot is at this point. It seems to me. Check.
Thank you, William. All right, let's go to Puma.
I wanted to tease apart the three acronyms, yeah?
Yeah.
So the faggot in space, faggot focus space, and faggot centric space. And most of the discussion I hear is about faggot-only space, yeah? But I think it's interesting because I haven't heard a lot of discussion on the other two points, but I feel like it's implicit. It's in people's minds when they're concerned about the sanctuary moving in the direction that they think is different from what they signed up for, not just in who's occupying the space at that time, it could be faggot-only space, yeah, but also just in, you know, the aesthetic of the space. There's like a giant within cough, it's like a crucial item with an evacuated leg, and just like homoerotic images all over the place. All of them that I've been around, you know, homoerotic with cis men, you know, and so there's a certain aesthetic that seems more like faggot focused or faggot centric, you know, because that's what's being focused on. And I've thought about that as I'm moving through the space and then like looking around and, you know, I mean, I've only been around for what, 4 years or so, so it's been pretty queer the whole time I've been there, definitely very gender diverse. But, you know, I definitely see the faggot centricness because I can feel it. I can be like, oh, like, I am like a cis male faggot and this seems like, it is like aimed at me. This is sort of like a way in which it is like a me-centric space and that part of myself. And the community is growing, and we've also talked about that sort of origin is what people have, I know Stella's in past great circles, that's not, people aren't coming there despite that, that's what's calling them there, that background. But who's actually on the land is sort of really diverse in terms of the spectrum of queerness. And I haven't seen that addressed so directly, and I don't know that I'm going to go anywhere else with it. I just wanted to sort of evoke it since it's either private focused and private centric, being something sort of different than private in this space. Thank you.
All right, I've got mugwort, hysteria, crimson. Is there anyone else on the line?
I don't see anyone.
I'm on the line here.
All right. So,
I have to
be on the track, Baba. All right, let's go to you first. Mugwort, hysteria, crimson.
Oh, yeah, I missed Mama Bai, sorry.
All right, so we've got five more folks on the staff. It is 1:08. I'm going to really ask you to be as concise as you can so that we can figure out how we want to take any of this into lunch. So I'll go ahead and mute, and you're on, Mama Bai. Thank you.
Okay. So, the charge issue is a tricky one for me because, well, I have a penis, and I still understand myself to be a faggot. I'm a chick. I present as a woman. That doesn't always get read by other people with females. It's really freaking layered, and I think the only way we can ever have this conversation to address some of what William was talking about, and like, and please understand, William, like, I don't take any, you know, thing negative from what you said, but I think the only way we can have a conversation about how do we, you know, define it is to really sit down and just have the simple conversation of what does this organization think a faggot is? What sex are they? What gender are they? What sexuality are they? These are three completely different things, and sex and gender are not the same thing. Sexuality and gender are not the same thing. You know, and this is basic for some people who have had to walk in this, like myself, but for a lot of people, you know, you see someone in a chest binder dressing like a boy, but you say female, and that person deeply defines as a faggot. You, by saying faggot, you're not addressing anything but their sexuality. So, it's a mire, and I feel like we always jump into this conversation, in my opinion, at the kind of higher levels of the conversation when I feel like we need to go back to square one and really define our basic terms. Like literally say, when we say faggot, we mean this. You know? Or we leave it open and say it's self-defined. The other piece going back to the intention around this, I thought, I've always understood it to be about the faggot being able to heal and become whole and become positive about their sexuality, to find grace and healing with each other. That's the intention behind why Study on the Space exists, is for healing, in my opinion, let me read this. And the way that the talk about how we can hold it, I would really love us to think outside of the box on this. One of the things that I've been talking about with folks here for the past 24 hours when we've been talking about this scenario is Brighton Push has faggot only gatherings twice a year, every freaking year, and the staff is mixed gender. Are Jewish and caretakers staff of the church? Can someone have faggot only space and still have someone on the land who does not fit into maybe their idea of faggot or the church's definition of faggot, but is there handle propane who runs and collect donations and deal with taxes and all these things? Check.
Thank you, Mama Vi, and I don't know if you heard because the mute was on, there was a number of kissing, there was some kissing in the room when you finished speaking. Appreciate you connecting to some of the elements of the discussion. And I'm taking notes on the whiteboard as well. So let's go to Mugwort.
Yeah, I'd like to call on the spirit of generosity. Looking to those people who feel left behind by the changes that have happened over the last 20 years. And I think one of our challenges is how to reach out to them when it doesn't feel like they're reaching back. You know, and what can we give them that they would actually receive or that at least some of them can receive? And I would like to, for a while, err in the direction of being too generous, you know, or being amply generous in that direction. One idea that's getting tossed around now in some side discussions is finding a place on the land that might be fag only for some chunk of the year. We're hoping to do that with Pendulum if we find folks to anchor that in a way to do that. Some years we have designated one or more months at the land as being fag only, independent of gatherings and independent of anyone calling it. I think the more we can decouple this from an individual needing to make a call, the more expansive that can be. I would also suggest that if we have a mechanism for individual calls, that maybe it be something that comes for Coco to discuss, so that it's a larger container. But mostly I just want to call on that generosity. Check.
Let's go to Asteria.
Asteria, I was just trying to reflect on when was the first time I heard the word faggot or where it came from and what its historical etymological stuff is. And it took me to Arthur Evans' book, Witchcraft and the Gay Counterculture, and its investigation of the word faggot being a reference to people who were male bodies who were thrown on the fire during the Inquisition and the Great Burning Time. And say that. And that the word radical fairy came from people who were self-proclaimed faggots. And it's altered. I also sort of say my personal identity is a golden hermaphrodite pansexual magician. And I don't want to play in a world where there's not faggot on the stage and there's not faggots. Right? So I want to be inclusive of that. And I think it would be really awesome to create a special sanctuary on the land that is faggot only space, that's well marked, that has portals that you enter and portals that you exit when you're taking out and off your faggot only self-declared identity. And you come in and go out. Does that make sense?
They're reporting a lot of static on the line. Probably all we can do is talk slowly and clearly.
I'm going to try muting and unmuting.
And read the live minutes if you want.
Okay, so I want to note that I've got two more folks on the stack in 1:15 now. I'm wondering if you two can hold. I want to honor our time, our lunch time. I'm sorry. No, I'm always in dance.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I've been asking folks to speak for about a minute, and bless your hearts, you're all going about 3 minutes. No judgment, and that's the reality by the clock. That's the clock reality. I know that I'm distracted by my blood sugar, and I imagine other people might be. So if you feel like you could give something like really concise, like I'd like to come back to this or this, I'll put it on the board. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Okay.
The biggest thing I would say is there's a separation with many fairies between spirituality, queerness, and gayness, and gay spirituality. And faggots. Faggots is a very good word. All right.
Thank you. Harley?
I can do this really quickly, and what I'm going to say is that I have the feeling and the intuition that there is at least two kinds of faggot-only, faggot-centered, spaces, and that is penist people and people who are trans faggots, and there is a certain kind of magic that can be worked with both of them, and it's all very beautiful, and I'm loving the rainbow.
Alrighty. Okay. I'm writing some notes on the board. Hold on just a second, folks on the line. I have some lunch time homework. I've done this a few times, and I know how much you all love when I give you homework over lunch. That was a joke. I wrote a series of questions because I'm really excited about what's being generated in the space, and some of the questions have already emerged. You know, how much time in advance? What do we mean by the word faggot? Can faggot-only space be part of the land? So, the things I want to ask folks to consider over lunch are, from what approach are we coming? I mentioned the words compassion and generosity. Is that something we want to agree on as an approach to going forth with these conversations? So we're going to have time after lunch to finish this discussion, and clearly we're not going to figure it all out today. But what we can figure out is how to keep moving through it so that we don't always just have to address it in the hot spots. That's my hope, that we can move in it in the sort of the lulls of the big energy. What kind of approach do we want to maybe try to come to these conversations with? What are the rest of the questions that we want to be asking ourselves and each other? How do those inform the conversations we want to have? What are the conversations we want to be having? These two feel linked, questions and conversations. What containers do these conversations happen in? And what agreements? I'm loath to use the word policy, you know, but what are the agreements, or what is the healing path? Feels like also linked questions. You put HP healing path. What agreements can we come up with that might take us down the healing path around this legacy? And then I also want to ask folks to think about the recording aspect. So let's go ahead and maybe reconvene at 2:10, which is a 50-minute lunch. I'm sorry, but we're trying to do a lot today. And we'll start off by kind of checking in with some of this stuff. I see Marlena's hand.
The other piece of lunch homework is to write any events you know up in the coming year that could be potential great support projects and that people are interested. And I'm going to be writing them up on the phone. I'm going to do that.
break into lunch, can we just give ourselves some blessing, self-blessing,
yeah,
self-appreciation,
yeah,
for sticking with this?
And appreciation for our facilitator, who's doing a fantastic job.
Yes!
Because facilitating is difficult.
Thank you. Please enjoy your lunch. Please nourish yourself. We'll be back at 2:10.
All right.
Thank you, Ray. I'd like to say a blessing on today's
yes,
time.
Please do.
This is still church, and I want to invoke this formality.
You a girl.
Church.
Thank you.
You can pray right now, right where we are.
Don't you do it? With it.
Creator, thank you for bringing us together once again. We know that no day is guaranteed. We are here by great grace. We acknowledge this. We pause for a moment to replenish ourselves with this great bounty that has come. And we are grateful. I want to say that in this blessing, that even though my name is Mother Sister Debbie Queen Hart Elton Jones, I am not the mother here, and I love mother energy, but I want us to all kindly mother ourselves and mother this lovely home by cleaning up after yourselves, and let's leave it better than we found it. We thank Maz, we thank Astrid, we thank Liz, and other beloveds who live here, who have opened up their home to us in kindness and generosity. Respectfully, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for this home. Thank you for this life.
Announcement, this is the kitty for the Great Circle Replenishment Fund.
You got $48, honey.
Thank you
for cooking. And I spent a little over $100 on our meals.
That's right.
Would like
Can
to
I
just
write a note to
not
the folks
have to wait.